الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in our previous class we were discussing the issues related to الشرط الرابع. الشرط الرابع, with regards to the fourth condition. The author, he mentioned, رحمه الله تعالى, رفع الحدث وهو الوضوء المعروف, removing the hadith. And we've seen some of the details with regards to the hadith, and that the hadith is two types, the major and the minor, and the obligation for removing the minor hadith is the wudu. And this is what the author, he's referring to here in this particular work, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And as for the major hadith, then the obligation to remove that is the ghusl, is the ghusl. And we have seen some of the details with regards to this issue, and that the wudu, it has conditions. And the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa shurutuhu ashra, and the conditions of al-wudu, the conditions of the ablution, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, there are 10. And we have taken a number of them in our previous class, walillahi alhamd, al-islamu wal-aqlu wa-tamiz, wa-niyatu wa-istishabu hukmiha, bi-alla yanwiya, qat'aha hatta tatimma taharatuhu, wa-nkita'u mujibin. These are the conditions that we had taken in the previous class, the intention. And that the intention it must continue from the beginning of the ablution until the end, without intending to break it or invalidate it. Without intending to break or invalidate the intention, it must continue. Istishabu hukmiha. And then he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, wa inqita'u mujibin. And likewise, that the reason for the obligation of making wudu, it must cease. And meaning that the hadith, it must stop. The hadith, it must stop. A person, if he's going to perform ablution, then the hadith that is requiring the ablution, it must stop. And we have discussed the issues with regards to this. After this, the author, he says, وَاسْتِنْجَاءٌ أَوْ اِسْتِجْمَارٌ قَبْلَهُ وَاسْتِنْجَاءٌ أَوْ اِسْتِجْمَارٌ قَبْلَهُ. That also from the conditions here, which would be the seventh condition, is the one that one he must make istinja or istijmar. He says qabalahu, before the wudu. We want to understand what is intended by this, and he's mentioning the conditions for the correctness of the wudu. So he's saying here that the seventh condition for the correctness of wudu is istinja or istijmar qabalahu, that one he must make either istinja or istijmar before the wudu. Is this a condition for the correctness of the wudu? Everyone who wants to make wudu, before he makes wudu, he has to make istinja or istijmar. Is this what is intended from the author? Everyone with me? A person at istinja, what is istijmar? This is related to qada al-haja, a person relieving himself. Number one or number two, relieving himself, any with regards to the urine or with regards to the feces. So if he cleans the impurities off of himself with water, this is called istinja. This is called the istinja, yastanji, yani bilma. And if he were to remove the impurities with a stone or something that would take the place of a stone, like tissue and the like this, then this is called al-istijmar, yastajmir bil awraq. Yani yastajmir bil awraq. The origin with regards to this, yastajmir bil hajr or bil hijara, that a person who remove the impurities with the stone. But likewise, using the paper and the likes, this will also be considered istijmar. So the author, he's saying, for the correctness of the wudu, there must be istinja or istijmar before the wudu. So do we understand from that, before every wudu, that we have to make istinja or istijmar? Before every wudu, we have to make istinja or istijmar? Is this what is intended? What is intended? Whenever the reason is there, meaning if a person, he were to relieve himself, and then after that make wudu, then at this time he must make al-istinja or al-istijmar before he makes wudu. So the author, he is referring to an important point here, or a mas'ala with regards to this affair. He says istinja'un aw istijmarun qabalahu. قبله يعني قبل الوضوء. قبل الوضوء. So it's understood from this, if he made استنجاء or استجمار after the wudu, then the wudu will not be, it will not be correct. He has to make the استنجاء and the, or the استجمار before the wudu. Before the wudu, the people of Nahr, as they mentioned with regards to this, what is best with regards to relieving oneself and cleaning oneself after that is that he will make استجمار and استنجاء. He will make استجمار and استنجاء. Meaning he will use the paper, he will use the toilet paper, and then after that use the water. This is the best manner, and Allah knows best. And after that, with regards to the best manner of removing these impurities is with water only. Is with water only. And then after that is with al-istijmar only. Yani meaning with the toilet paper only. And there are details with regards to al-istinja and al-istijmar, and we have taken them in the explanation of Kitab al-Tahara in the book Umdat al-Ahkam. For those who want to go over those details, they can be found there in those recordings. So the point is now that this is the condition for the correctness of the wudu, meaning if a person, he had relieved himself. And if the reason for making wudu is because a person, he passed urine or feces. Because a person, he passed urine or feces. Now the reason for the wudu or the hadith that had occurred is this affair. So now he must not make wudu until he made al-istinja or al-istijmar. So to understand the issue, for example, if a person, he were to pass urine, akramakum Allah, and then stand up after that, then go and make wudu, and without making istinja, without using water at all, or any toilet paper, he passed urine, and then he went and immediately and made wudu. And then he went back, without touching his private parts, he put water and removed the urine. According to what the author has mentioned, what is the state of his wudu? It's not correct. Why? Because he says, قَبَلَهُ قَبَلَهُ. This is an issue that the people of Nahr, they have differed with regards to. And what is best is to follow this position. And some of the people of Nahr, they said, rather it would be correct. For example, if a person, he was holding a child, and the baby passed urine on his clothing. And then after that, the man, he was upon a hadith. So the baby passed urine on his clothing, and then he went and made wudu. And then after that, he removed the urine. The people of Nahr's mission here, that they have an agreement, and there's no disagreement that the wudu would be correct. The wudu would be correct. So they're saying here that this is the same situation with regards to al-istinja or istijmar. We understand their point. So they're saying that it's not a condition. If a person, he made wudu first and then he made istinja after that, it will be correct based upon this affair. We understand the point? The point is they're saying that they all agree. They all agree that if a man, he had a child in his hand and the child passed urine on his clothing, and then that man, he went and made wudu, and then after he made wudu, he removed the urine from his clothing. They all agree that the wudu would be considered correct. So they're saying that this is similar to this issue here. But the people of knowledge who mentioned that rather it's a condition before the wudu and it would not be correct, they say that in reality this is not the same. Because the istinja is connected to the hadith. So this is the only type of najasa. Yani this najasa that's being removed, this is a type of najasa that's specific and it's related to the hadith. So the istinja is because of the hadith. So this istinja or this istijmar is related specifically to the hadith, to that which had come out of the body, to the urine that had come out of the person's body. That's the reason for the istinja, or that's the reason for the istijmar. So therefore, this particular affair here is related specifically to the hadith. So therefore, it has the same ruling. So this is the case here. It will not be correct before. The wudu will not be correct before the istinja. Because the reason for the istinja is the hadith. So therefore, a person, he will remove the istinja first and then remove the hadith. And this is what has been narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was what is known, that he never made istinja first and then he removed the hadith. That he never removed the hadith first and then he made istinja. Rather, what is mentioned is contrary to that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would relieve himself and then after that he would use the water and the likes, and then after that he would make wudu,
And then after that, he will make wudu. So this is an issue that the people of knowledge, they differ with regards to. And what is safest and what is best is that a person, if he had relieved himself, then he should not make wudu until after first cleaning himself. After first cleaning himself. And this is what the people of knowledge have mentioned with regards to this. And this is what the author, he's referring to here in the seventh condition. After this, the author, he mentions the eighth condition, وَطُهُورِيَتُهُ, and that the water, it must be pure. الْمَاءَ الطَّهُورِ, the people of knowledge, they mention, هُوَ الْمَاءَ الْبَاقِي عَلَىٰ أَصْلِ خِلْقَتِهِ, the water that's remaining in the manner that it was created. The water that remains in the natural state that it was created, this is called الْمَاءَ الطَّهُورِ. الماء الطهور, this water here, its attribute is that it's مطهرون, it's طاهرون في نفسه ومطهرون لغيره, طاهرون في نفسه ومطهرون لغيره. الماء الطهور, الماء الطهور هو الماء الذي يكون طاهرا في نفسه مطهرا لغيره. It's a type of water that is pure in itself and it purifies. And it purifies. It's in itself, it is pure. In itself, it is pure. And likewise, it purifies. Likewise, it purifies. Meaning it purifies, meaning that it removes the najasa. It removes impurities. It removes impurities, and likewise, it will remove the hadith. It will remove the hadith. So the water is two types. Ma'un tahur and ma'un najis. Ma'un tahur and ma'un najis. The water that is pure and the water that is impure. So the condition of the wudu is that the water is pure. The condition of the wudu is that the water is pure. So if a person, he made wudu with water that is impure, and he meaning water that is mixed with najasa, mixed with an impurity, mixed with feces or with urine and the likes like this, then this wudu will not be correct. This wudu will not be correct because الماء النجس لا يرفع الحدث. لا يزيل النجاسة ولا يرفع الحدث. It doesn't remove the najasa. So you cannot remove najasa with najasa. A person, he cannot remove impurities with impurities. And likewise, the hadith will not be raised with water that is impure. With water that is impure. With regards to the water, the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, the definition of the pure water is الماء الباقي على أصل خلقته. The water that remains in the natural state that it was created. The water that remains in the natural state that it was created. الماء الذي لم يتغير بنجاسة. It's the type of water that was not changed by najasa. The name water is still used for this for this substance. The name water, yani this is still the term used for this substance. So for example, if a person he had water, yani that is pure water, and then a drop of lemonade got in the water. At this time, the water maybe it will change colors lightly, or even it could change slightly the taste. But if a person seen it, he would say, this is water. This was water, a drop of lemonade fell into it. But he still considers it water. And it's still considered water. So this water here, it's allowed to make wudu with it and likewise to remove najasa. We understand the point here. It's still considered water, and this state it will still be considered pure and purifying. But if a person, he had the water and then he poured lemonade to it, and he, for example, a cup of lemonade, not a drop, a cup, until now it changed. Now it's not considered water anymore. It has been overcome by the lemonade. The lemonade had mixed with it so much that now a person, he will see it and he will not say that's water. He will say that's lemonade. He will say that's lemonade. So lemonade is not a means to purify. It's not considered water anymore. It's considered tahir because lemonade is tahir. Lemonade is pure, but it will not purify. It will not purify. So a person, he cannot use lemonade to remove najasa, to remove impurities. And he cannot use lemonade to raise the hadith. So the water that remains in the state of water, even if it's something that's pure, like lemonade, for example, or like apple juice, for example, a drop came into a big pitcher. A drop came into a big pitcher. Possibly the color might change slightly yellow. This will not harm the water. This will not harm the tahuriyah of the water. It remains in its pure state. It will still remove the hadith, and it will still be a means to purify. But if enough of that substance, if enough of the apple juice or the orange juice or the likes like this came into the water, until now it changed from being water into being orange juice or being a type of juice, at this time it's not tahur anymore. Now it's just considered tahir, and it's not water anymore. Likewise, now it will be considered juice. Likewise, a person, if he had a large pitcher of water, it's pure, it's considered tahur. Yani meaning that it will remove impurities, and likewise it will lift the hadith. If a drop of coffee came into it, black coffee, possibly likewise the color could change slightly. But then if a person, he looked at it, it's still considered water. It's still considered water. It's just considered water that a drop of coffee came into. So it's still considered water. So the water here is considered tahur. It's allowed to make wudu with it and likewise to remove impurities. But if a person, he poured enough coffee into the water until now it changed. It's not water anymore. Now it's considered coffee. A person, he will see it and say, that's not water, that's coffee. This will not remove the impurities, nor will it raise the hadith. Nor will it raise the hadith. So this is what is intended here. So this is with regards to the water that's mixed with something that's pure. The water that's mixed with something that is pure. Likewise, if there is like a large bucket of water or a large container of water outside or a pond and the likes like this, and some leaves fell into the water and the water changed slightly its color or changed slightly its taste and the likes like this because of leaves and something from the natural environment that is in itself pure, and then it slightly changed color but it's still considered water. Likewise, this is still tahur. It's still tahur. Ma'un tahur, yani meaning the ma that is pure in itself and it purifies, meaning that it's allowed to remove the impurities with it, the physical impurities, and likewise to lift the hadith. Likewise to lift the hadith. So this is called al-ma al-mutaghayyir bil-mujawara. So this will not harm the water likewise. This will not harm the water likewise. The person, he didn't have any water except for a bucket of water that was outside and then some leaves fell into it. Some leaves fell into it and it changed color slightly. He didn't have any other water but this water, and the time for prayer came. It's an obligation to use it to make wudu, and it will remove his hadith. And it will remove his hadith. It's pure and it's purifying. It's pure and it's purifying. This is with regards to the water that is pure in itself and purifying, that it's mixed with something that is pure. As for the water that is originally tahur, originally is pure and purifying in itself, and then it's mixed with an impurity. Then it's mixed with an impurity. For example, we have a large bucket of water similar to what is before, not a drop of lemonade, rather a drop of urine. Rather a drop of urine falls into the bucket, and now it changes color because of the urine. This water now is considered najis. This water now is considered najis. It's impure. It's impure. Even if it was only one drop. Even if it was only one drop. But the water changed color, or it changed scent, or it changed taste. Because of that impurity, now the water is corrupted and not pure anymore. It will not raise the hadith, nor will it remove impurities. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, الْمَاءُ طَهُورٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٌ لَا يُنَجِّسُهُ شَيْءٌ, that the water is pure. Nothing will make it impure. Nothing will make it impure. And this narration is authentic on the Prophet ﷺ. There's some other wordings of this narration likewise. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Illa ma taghayyara lawnuhu aw ta'muhu aw rihuhu bi najasatin tahduthu fihi." The water remains pure, except if its color, or scent, or taste is changed by najasa, then this one will become impure. And this narration is weak with this extra wording. But the people of knowledge, they have a consensus that the meaning of this wording is true. The meaning of this wording is correct. So therefore, based upon that, yani the evidence here, or the basis for the evidence here, is not the hadith, rather it's the consensus, the ijma'. So the water that is pure, that is changed from being pure, its color changed, or its scent changed, or its taste changed because of an impurity, it is impure. It is impure. It is impure, and it's not allowed to make wudu with that, and it's not allowed to use that to remove impurities like feces and urine and the likes of these affairs. So this is the issue with regards to tahuriyah and ma, that the water, it has to be tahur. It has to be tahur. And if it is not tahur, then it will not remove the hadith. It will not remove the hadith. After this, the author, he mentions the ninth condition. Ibahatu al-ma. That the water, it must be permissible. And this is with regards to the water itself. It must be allowed and permissible. Meaning that if a person, he were to go and steal a bottle of water, he were to go into the store and look around and wait for the clerk to not look, and then he'll steal a bottle of water. He'll steal a bottle of water while he's not looking, put it in his pocket and leave, and then go outside and make wudu with it and pray salat. Based upon this issue here, what the author, he's mentioning, that this is a condition for the correctness of the prayer. The prayer will not be correct, and it will not be accepted. The wudu will not be proper, because the wudu will not be proper, because the water, it must be allowed and permissible. Likewise, if a person, he were to take the water unlawfully from somebody, he were to take it like forcefully, he were to go to somebody and take their water from them unrightfully and with force as well, the ruling is the same. Yani whether it's al-ma al-masruq or al-ma al-maghsub, yani whether he took it with force or whether he stole it when the people are not looking, yani this is all considered the same. So this is something here that al-madhhab al-hanbali, they have mentioned specifically. They have mentioned specifically, yani min mufradat madhhab al-hanabila. This is from those issues that the Hanbali madhhab has mentioned specifically, contrary to the other madahib. Contrary to the other madahib. Whenever we study fiqh, and generally we study the madahib al-arba'ah, the four madahib of Abi Hanifa and Imam Malik and Imam al-Shafi'i and Imam Ahmed, rahimahum Allah ta'ala. But likewise, there are other madahib as well and other a'imma that are well known that we will study their fiqh as well. But these are the main madahib that have remained. So many times you will find that they have differed. And sometimes one will be in agreement with another, or there'll be two of them in one opinion and two of them in another opinion, or they'll all be of the same opinion. And sometimes you will find that three of them will be of one opinion and one of them will be different from them. So in this case here, whenever one of the madahib has taken an opinion contrary to the other madahib, whenever in a particular issue, they call this mufradat al-madhab. Mufradat al-madhab, yani from the things that this particular madhab has taken as a position, is singled out alone with that. Any meaning that they are not in accordance with the other madhab in this issue. So whenever we study the likes of these books, for example, the madhab of the Hanabila, we'll find that there are mufradat, and this is from them. Mufradat meaning affairs, issues that the imam or the madhab has taken that is not in agreement with the other madahib, that they have singled out alone with this particular position and from that this affair. So based upon that, this being the mufradat of the madahib, meaning the jumhur, the majority of the scholars, they find that a person who stole water and he made wudu with that, that his wudu would be correct and his salat would be correct likewise, but he's sinning. So the majority of the scholars, this is their opinion. So this issue here, this is specific to the madhab of the Hanabila, that the water, it must be permissible and allowed. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fa huwa rad." That whoever does a deed that's not in accordance to our affair, meaning not in accordance to our way, our sunnah, our legal way, our law and legal way, our deen, yani, then it will be rejected. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he forbade stealing. He forbade stealing, and he forbade strong-arming the people and the likes like this, and taking people's property unlawful. So therefore, the person who took the water unlawfully, and then after that he used it to make wudu, this is something that's not in accordance to the deen of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So therefore, it will be rejected. And this is their understanding. But the people of knowledge, the majority of them, they say rather this is something that's not related directly to the salah. It's not related, it's not correct, the water here, the fact that it's lawful or unlawful, is not related directly to the action of worship. It's a prohibition that's outside of the action of worship specifically. So therefore, if a person, he made wudu with it and he brought the conditions, then the wudu would be considered correct, along with the fact that he's sinning. Along with the fact that he's sinning, because it's not allowed for him to steal water and the likes, and it's not allowed for him to use water that does not belong to him. It's not lawful for him. And not lawful for him. But so he's sinning from this aspect, but the wudu will be considered correct, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. So in any case, this is something that people of knowledge are different about with regards to this particular condition. And no doubt, a believer, he should not steal anything. And especially he should not steal anything, and then after that, strive to seek nearness to Allah by way of that thing. So it's from the foul understanding that some people, they'll disobey Allah and claims that they will obey Allah. And he disobeying Allah in order to obey Allah. Like the woman, she will travel without a mahram in order to make umrah, for example. She's in the act, she's committing an action of disobedience and seeking to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal. So in the similar case, a person, he will steal water from somebody else and take it unlawfully and then make wudu with that. Or he'll steal some clothing and the likes like this, and after that he will cover his awrah with that and pray in that. It has the similar ruling in the same issue. So this is from yani the position of the Hanabila with regards to this. So a believer, he should not steal water. And if the water is stolen, he should not make wudu with that likewise. There are other issues that are related to this. Likewise, some of the people knowledge will mention al-ma al-maquf, yani the one that's a waqf. Sometimes some people, they will have water that they have set aside and they have made it a waqf, meaning an endowment. It's for drinking only. It's for drinking only. And this is known in the Arab lands, particularly in the Arabian Peninsula, where it's very hot. And the lights like this, they will have coolers outside, and therefore drinking only. And people who are doing good deeds, muhsinun, and they will give their money in charity, and they will set up a water cooler outside for the public. For the public, and it's made specifically for drinking only. And it's a waqf, yani the reward from that is going to go for that person, yani even after he dies, and the likes like this, so long as that water is beneficial. So they will place that water as an endowment for something specific, if they do. If they place it for something specific like drinking only, and then that person, he made wudu with that, likewise, based upon this position here, the wudu will not be correct as well. The wudu will not be correct as well. Although the majority of the scholars, they find any that it will be correct, along with the fact that he's sinning, and Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. So in any case, to avoid the likes of these affairs. No doubt, to avoid stealing or using water that is stolen, and likewise to avoid using the water that is placed as an endowment only for drinking and the likes like this, and to use the water that is pure and the water that is known that it is lawful and allowed. That it is lawful and permissible and allowed to use. And allowed to use. So after this, the author, he mentions the next condition, which we count as the 10th condition. Izalatu ma yamna. He says, wa izalatu ma yamna'u wusulahu ila al-bashara. Wa izalatu ma yamna'u wusulahu, yani wusul al-ma, ila al-bashara. The 10th condition here that the author, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is that one, he must remove anything that will prohibit the water from reaching the skin. Any meaning on the place, on the body part that's being washed. So the body parts of wudu, they're well known. We discuss them, inshallah, whenever we discuss the furud, the pillars of wudu and the likes like this. But those body parts of wudu, the hands and the arms and the elbows and the face and the feet to the ankles, the hands to the elbows and the face and the feet to the ankles and the likes like this. These places here, there must not be anything on the skin that will prohibit the water from reaching. That will prohibit the water from reaching the skin. All of that must be removed. All of that must be removed. So it has been collected by Abu Dawood with a chain that is authentic, that the companions, a number of them, they mention, رَأَى النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ رَجُلًا يُصَلِّي وَفِي ظَهْرِ قَدَمِهِ لُمَعَةٌ قَدْرُ الدِّرْهَمِ لَمْ يُصِبْهَا الماء فأمره النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يعيد الوضوء والصلاة. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he saw a man praying. He saw a man praying, and he had in his foot a portion of his foot, approximately the size of a dirham, yani of a coin, a small portion on his foot that the water did not reach. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered him to go and repeat his wudu and to repeat the salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw a person praying, and he noticed that on his foot there was a place the size of a coin approximately that the water did not reach. So therefore the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered him to go make wudu again and to repray that prayer. So this is the case. So if nothing's there and the water didn't reach, or if something's there prohibiting the water to reach, the ruling is the same. So the issue with regards to the wudu is that the water, it must reach the body parts of wudu entirely, at least one time. This is going to come likewise in the furud. We discuss this affair. But the water, it must reach all of the body parts of the ablution. It must reach it entirely. So there cannot be anything on the skin that will prohibit the water from reaching the skin. For example, sometimes the women, maybe they'll have nail polish on. Maybe they have nail polish on, and the nail polish is painted on, and it's a thick substance covering the nails. And if a person were to put nail polish on and then put their finger in the water, that water would not go under the nail polish to the nails. And those nails, it's an obligation for the water to reach those nails. So this nail polish is prohibiting the water from reaching the nails. So therefore, a woman, if she made wudu like this, with this nail polish on, that is actually a substance covering the nails, then the wudu will not be correct. Likewise, somebody who had paint on their skin. For example, sometimes the paint, is a thick substance, and it will go on the skin like a plastic overlaying and the likes like this, or other substances as well, concrete, so on and so forth. Maybe sometimes people are working, it will get on their skin. This has to be removed. This has to be removed entirely. Anything that comes to the skin that will prohibit the water from reaching the skin, it must be removed before making wudu. And if it's there, whenever the person makes wudu, then the wudu is not considered correct. We understand this. So for example, if a person, he made wudu and then he prayed. And then after he prayed, he noticed in the bottom of his foot he had a piece of paint. He had a piece of paint that was on his foot covering a portion of the bottom of his foot. A piece of the latex paint and the likes like this. This paint that is well known that is covering a portion of his foot, even if it's a small portion. What's the ruling for his salah? Huh? He didn't know. He's not excused here. So now he knows this issue here. He's not going to be excused for. Rather, like this man here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw. فَأَمَرَهُ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alaihi wasallam أَنْ يُعِيدَ الْوُضُوءَ وَالصَّلَاةَ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he seen a man in a similar situation, and he ordered him to repeat the wudu and to repeat the prayer. So likewise, if one of us were to do this, were to pray, and then after that we find that we see on our body part a place that the water did not reach because of a substance that was there, for example, then it's incumbent to remove that substance and to go make wudu again and to repeat that prayer. And if it was an obligatory prayer, it's an obligation to repeat it. If it was a non-obligatory prayer, it's not an obligation to repeat it, but the prayer was not accepted. Likewise, sometimes maybe somebody will be in the hospital and they will take, for example, some type of injections or the likes like this, and then they will have maybe a Band-Aid on. And sometimes the Band-Aids are water resistant, or sometimes they have tape on the bandage and the likes like this, and that sometimes maybe is water resistant. If that is on the body part of wudu, it has to be removed. You understand this? It has to be removed. So that tape, it has to be removed. And except in the case if he has like an ailment or something like this, then now he will take the ruling of the Jabira, the one who has a cast, or the one who has some bandages. This is a different issue. So the point is, whenever whenever a person is in the normal state and he's going to wash his body parts properly, and he doesn't have any ailments prohibiting from using water in any manner. So then if he had this tape there or this Band-Aid there and the likes like this, that's water resistant, then if he were to make wudu with that, then the water would not reach that part. So therefore the wudu would not be correct. As for the henna, that the women, they may wear, then this is different. This is a different type of substance. This substance here does not prohibit the water from reaching the skin. So this is allowed. A woman, maybe she will have the henna on, and she will make wudu, and it will not affect her, because this particular substance is just the color on the skin. It's not a substance on top of the skin blocking the water from reaching the skin. So the point is that any substances that will be on the skin and the places of wudu that will stop or prohibit the water from reaching the skin, this is what we're discussing now. This is what must be removed. Anybody who has other ointments and the likes like this, or like henna, maybe they have some ointment, or maybe they have some cream or other substance for medication and the likes like this they put on their skin. But a person, if he put water on top of that, it will not stop the water from reaching his skin. Maybe he has some different type of cream on his skin, or other ointments and the likes like this, but this ointment or this cream does not prohibit the water. It's not going to form a layer on the skin prohibiting the water from reaching the skin. This will not harm a person. We please save the questions for the end. Barakallahu fikum. So the water which is prohibiting the water from reaching the skin, this is what must be removed. Any substance that's on the skin that does not prohibit the water from reaching the skin, this will not affect the person's wudu. What will affect the person's wudu is the substance on the skin that prohibits the water from reaching that part of the body. As for in the case of some people, maybe they're painters, for example, or maybe they're people who work outside in construction and they're facing these affairs daily. And some of them have mentioned that sometimes there are substances that are very hard to get off. Sometimes there are substances that, yani, they can get the majority of it off, but it's many times there'll be small pieces or small places on their hands or on their arm that just will not go off. And some of them they will say that it will not come off unless I cut the skin off, or unless I, that it would be very difficult. Any small places. So the majority, they can get the majority of the paint off, or they can get the majority of the substance off, but there will be small places sometimes that's very difficult for them to get off. And they're not large places, but they're small places. And sometimes maybe a person will misunderstand this affair, and they'll think because of this, they will delay the prayer until they get home after work. Some of them, they will wait until they get home and they take a shower and they use the different solutions until they wash their hands finally, completely and entirely, and get it all off. And then after that, they'll pray all their prayers, making them up. And he's skipping all of the prayers throughout the day based upon the fact that they are not able to entirely remove all of the substance. This is wrong and not allowed. This is wrong and not allowed. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. You fear Allah as much as you can. So the people of knowledge, as they mentioned in this circumstance here, for this person, he's in a situation where this is something that cannot be avoided. He will do his best. He'll make his best effort, and everything will be removed except for some small spot, one or two small places, and it's not a major place, and it's a very small place, and it's something hard and difficult to remove. So in this case, Allah knows best. This portion will be forgiven and pardoned. So he'll make wudu, he'll remove it the best that he can without being negligent. And then whatever the small part that he's not able to get, then inshallah he's pardoned for that. He makes wudu and his wudu is correct and Allah knows best. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned that, and this is because Allah, he says, as has preceded, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah as much as you can. And likewise, it's known that many times, there will be some type of dirt or filth that will be trapped under the fingernails. Maybe a person is not always able to entirely remove all of the filth under the fingernails. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't go to extremes with regards to this affair. Rather, this is something that was excused. A light amount of filth or dirt or the likes that's left under the fingernails, inshallah, this will not invalidate the wudu. This will not invalidate the wudu, because it's something light and small, and likewise it's something very difficult to remove entirely. That which gets stuck under the fingernails. So therefore the situation is similar like this. So the people of Nana, they say this is from those affairs that umur allati ta'umu biha, al-umur allati ta'umu biha al-balwa. And this is wa yashuku. This is something that, yani, is an encompassing trial. It's something that's very difficult. This person is going to face it every single day. He's a painter. Yani, he's a painter or he's a construction worker. And these substances are very difficult. So therefore, if it's a light amount and it's very hard to remove it, and this is something he's facing like this, it will be excused. It will be excused like this. With regards to that dirt under the fingernail, we should not misunderstand. If a person, he had a lot of dirt under his fingernail, then this will prohibit his will. He has to clean that. We're talking about a light amount. A small amount of dirt that could possibly be under the nail, and the likes like this that could possibly be there to stop the water from reaching, you know, that portion on the finger, on the tip of the finger. And if it's a small amount, as for if somebody had filthy nails and the likes like this, then he would have to remove that. He would not have an excuse for that. So what we're talking about now is a shay al yasir alladhi yashuqu izalatuhu, something that is very light and it's very difficult likewise to remove. So he will be excused for this. So those who are painters, so on and so forth, he will do his best at the time of the prayer. At the time of the prayer, he will remove that substance the best that he can, and then make wudu, and then he will pray, and inshallah his prayer is good, and Allah knows best. So after this the author he mentioned the 11th condition with any, and his counting is number 10, but the way that we see it here, it's number 11, and Allah knows best. دُخُولُ الْوَقْتِ لِمَنْ حَدَثُهُ دَائِمْ. دُخُولُ الْوَقْتِ لِمَنْ حَدَثُهُ دَائِمْ لِفَرْضِهِ. That the time of the prayer it must enter for the one who has a constant hadith, for the one who's praying the obligatory prayer. So we had discussed this previously with regards to the issue of انقطاع مُجِبٍ. انقطاع الموجب. We discussed the issue here that from the conditions of the wudu is that the hadith must stop entirely, and he must make wudu. And if the hadith were to continue or to return while he's making wudu, and then the wudu will be invalidated, he has to restart again. Because from the conditions of the correctness of the wudu is انقطاع موجب, يعني انقطاع سببي الوضوء, the reason for making the wudu. For example, we said a person who is passing gas, he passed gas and then he started to make wudu, he started making the malwawa and the gas continues. So he's making malwawa and the gas is coming out. This wudu is not correct. He has to wait until the gas stops coming out entirely and then begin to make wudu. And then he has to continue without any gas until he finishes the wudu, for the wudu to be considered correct. This is what was intended by that affair. So this is a condition that the reason for the wudu, meaning that the hadith, it must stop. The hadith, it must stop. But there are individuals, as we have seen, they have hadithun da'im. They have a constant hadith. And we mentioned there are three types of people. Who remembers them? Three types of conditions. The hadithu da'im. Three conditions. Huh? Al-istihara, the woman who has the irregular blood, and salis al-bowl, the person who has the urine that constantly drips unwillingly, istitlaq al-rih, and the gas continually comes, the gas, and it will release unwillingly likewise. So these are three conditions that are mentioned here. So if we make it an obligation upon him for the hadith to stop, then this person, his hadith never stops. So for this situation and a person with this condition, there is another requirement in place of that, and that is the one that the author is mentioning, and that is dukhul al-waqt liman hadathuhu da'imun li fardihi, and that is that the time of the prayer will enter for this person. So the one who has this situation, the woman who has the irregular blood, and she continues to bleed and she's not on her menses, this is no doubt a hadith. Or a person, for example, that the urine continues to drop, it continues to drip unwillingly, it will drip from him and he constantly, or somebody who the gas is continually to come and it comes from him constantly, he has no control over it. So whether if it's a constant case, or even if a person is, it's not necessarily a constant case, but he doesn't know when it's going to happen, it's coming and going, he has no control over it. Maybe it will be constant all the time, or it will be most of the time, and a person, he has no control over it. Maybe he checks, he doesn't have the bowl, and then he starts making wudu and the bowl comes. Or right after he makes the wudu, the bowl comes. So then if this person is going to keep going back and forth, restarting the wudu over and over and over, so it's going to be very difficult for him. So therefore there's this new condition here, and that he waits until the time of the prayer comes, and then he makes the tahara. So the person who has a constant hadith, the hadith is constant, like al-istihala, or salis al-bawm, or istitlaq al-rih, the one who has the irregular bleeding, or has the condition with the urine, or the condition with the gas, then the obligation for this person is to wait until the time of the prayer. Is to wait till the time of the prayer enters, and then make wudu. So the woman who has that blood, and likewise the one who has that urine, then they will clean themselves. They will make a stinja, any cleaning that impurity. And likewise, it's recommended to put something there, some cloth or some paper towel there, and the likes like this, or that a man, he will wrap his organ in a manner to help prohibit the impurity from reaching his clothing, and he'll do his best like this. And then after that, and likewise the woman, she'll remove that, and then she'll put some cloth there and the likes, covering to help also prohibit the blood from reaching the garment. And then after that, they make wudu. We'll say, for example, at dhuhr time, they want to pray dhuhr. So they wait for dhuhr time to come, and then whenever the time enters, after that, they clean themselves in that area in a good manner. They take the precaution that they can by putting some type of cloth and the likes like this, or tissues there, so on and so forth. And then they make wudu. And then they remain upon Tahara all the way until that prayer goes out. So in this case, they'll remain upon Tahara all the way until Asr. All the way until Asr, so long as they do not do anything else to invalidate the wudu. So the issue that they have here, the woman who has this that blood, the istihadah, even if the blood continues to come while they're making wudu, even if the blood is coming while they're in the prayer, the one who has the urine, for example, is coming, or the gas, even if it's coming while he's making wudu, even if it's coming while he's in the salah, even if it's coming while he's reading the Quran, holding the mushaf, so long as he fulfilled this obligation here, he's considered in the state of tahara hukman. The ruling that is applied to him is that he's in the state of tahara for his condition. So he waits till the time, cleans himself in this matter after the time enters, and then makes wudu, and then they'll pray the sunnah, and they'll pray the obligatory prayer. They can pray the sunnah before, and pray the obligatory prayer, and pray the sunnah after. They can sit in the masjid, they can hold the mushaf, they can recite from the Quran. If they're in Mecca, they can make tawaf. Every action that's required to have tahara in order to perform it, this is allowed for them, even if the hadith continues. Even if the hadith continues. So the point now to emphasize is that this is with regards to their hadith specifically. So the one who has these cases here, for example, the one who has sadis al-bowl, the urine is coming, if he passed gas, this would invalidate his wudu. So now he would have to go make wudu again, because this is a different invalidator, not related to his condition, not related to his illness. So the invalidators that are not related to his illness, they will break his wudu. As for the issue, as for the invalidator that he has an issue with, then this does not break his wudu, so long as he made wudu when the time of the prayer came. So we'll say that suppose he didn't do anything to break his wudu, and he did not do any other invalidator. He made the wudu whenever the time came, he will remain upon that same wudu all the way until Asr, so long as he didn't do anything else to break his wudu. So for that whole time, he can pray obligatory, non-obligatory, he can read the Quran, everything is allowed for him. Walillahi alhamd. So it has been mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She mentioned about Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh, that she had al-istihada, and the narrations of al-istihada that are found, that the foundation for this issue and the other issues are based upon that. Yani from the analogy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her with regards to the istihada, he said, ثُمَّ تَوَضَّئِ لِكُلِّ صَلَاتٍ حَتَّى يَجِيَ ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ. Then after that, yani whenever this blood is coming, and she identifies that this is not the menses, rather this is the irregular blood, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and then you make wudu. Then you make wudu for every prayer until that time comes, meaning until the time of the other prayer comes. So the people of knowledge, many of them, they mention what is intended here, تَوَضَّئِ لِكُلِّ صَلَاتٍ. يعني لوقت كل الصلاة. Make wudu for every prayer, meaning for the time of every prayer. حتى يجي ذلك الوقت, until that time comes. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he coupled this ruling with the salah and the time. So it's understood here the time of salah, the time of salah. So this is the evidence for this particular issue. After this, the author, he's going to go into the affairs of furud al wudu, furud al wudu. Inshallah, we take them in the class to come. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.